Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. We know tonight's that night we just come alive on the radio station. We give God the credit. We give Him the praise. And we understand what God is doing and saying to us and for us. One of the things I found out this in my study, until the speaker comes on, I thank God for what He said in the spirit of the living God. And God is so good.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We have now the teacher, Reverend A. Royal A. Prince's Love, has a word from a preacher.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God, everybody. I'm so sorry. I could have gotten on early enough to hear you, Pastor. I forget that you be on earlier. I will. I thank the Lord for this day, May 21st, 2018. Glory to God and to the highest of all people out there. I know that we have a talk called Can We Talk? Tonight I am going to teach, but I'm also going to ask you to meditate on a couple questions while I'm teaching. And one of them is, are you saved? Do you have eternal life? Or the most simple way most people put it, once saved, always saved. So I would like for you to meditate on that, and then when we have our Can We Talk time, I would like to hear comments on that, because I'm very troubled about the number of Christians. Well, I don't even like to use the word Christian myself. I am a saint. We are saints. I don't find Paul wrote not one letter, and we know Paul wrote a big part of the New Testament. It's 27 books in the New Testament, and Paul wrote practically all of them. Peter wrote, you know, when, all except the ones Peter, John, and Jude. No, Paul wrote the letters to Jude. So only other two writers in Acts, they say Luke wrote Acts, you know. And, of course, we know Matthew wrote Matthew. We hope, you know, the four Gospels were written by there. But after the four Gospels, then it came, it started with Acts in Paul, from Acts with Paul. And then we have Peter and we have John. Of course, John wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. So, however, not one of them ever addressed a letter. Except Peter, he mentions Christians. He didn't start a letter, not one of his letters, to Christians. Christians is a world, American word that we use to try and lump us in to being from Catholic or Protestant. You know, it's under the Protestant label. However, I rather choose what God chose. You know, the world is so tied up in titles. I've been fighting this title thing for weeks now. However, let us pray. Most Heavenly Father God, we enter in to your gates with praise and thanksgiving, glorifying and magnifying and exalting you and you alone. You are God all by yourself, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for joy unspeakable and all your goodness, grace. Glory to your name. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for binding the devil off of this line, for binding him out of our hearts and minds, and giving us the liberty that you have so freely given us, the free will that you have set before us, that we will willingly choose to love you, willingly choose to walk upright, willingly live holy for you, willingly give our bodies as a sacrifice for you. Willingly praise you 24/7. Willingly open our hearts and our minds up to your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding. Glory to God, because your word say, Father, it is you who worketh in us both to will and to do. Philippians chapter 2 says that, Lord. We don't do anything of our own, but by your word say, we didn't love you first. You first loved us. Your word say, Father, and all those that believe in you, you shall give eternal life. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we ask you to bless our president, our leaders, the heads of the states, the governors, all those that are in higher authority and higher position. But above all of them, I pray, Father, for all the men and women of God that hold your word in truth and teach it in love. In the name of Jesus, all over the world, I ask you to go into the orphanages, the prisons, and those that are sold into slavery. And, oh, God Almighty, bless the children of Israel, the physical Israel, and the spiritual Israel. Because your words say, we are the Israel of God. And we thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let it be all of you and none of me, God. In Jesus' name. So the words, I asked you to think about eternal life. In John chapter 10, well, let's do John chapter 3 first. John chapter 3, we all know 16, but I like to get an understanding of the word of God for people. So many people quote John 3:16, and very few people, as I've taught on here before, know John 3:17, which is as mighty. It's mighty. And John 3 says, as you all know, 3:15, I want to do it first. 3:15 says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Telling me that you don't believe, once saved, always saved, then you just need to get your little marker and take that out if you believe in Christ. And I promise you, you won't have much Bible left, but take that one out. Once saved, always saved. For whosoever believeth, John 3:15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, this is the one everybody knows, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but that whoever believes that they don't have, that they ain't once saved, always saved. Take that one out. Take John 3:16 out. But have everlasting life. Now, eternal life, everlasting life. You've already taken those two out of your book. If you don't believe, once saved, always saved. And I love to give you St. John chapter 3, verse 17. Because we all upset about sin. And 3:17 teaches us that we don't have to worry ourselves about sin. And I've even heard people on this radio program say, ain't enough teaching going on about sin. That goes to show you, people who say that don't even understand. They haven't grown in Christ to know. If you're born again, you're no longer a sinner. You sin, but you are no longer a sinner, because your sins were crucified on the cross with Christ over 2,000 years ago. But if you choose to keep putting them on you, then you have made the blood of Christ of none effect. So I just want you to think about What state, how much growth have you grown in Christ in order not to believe that you once saved, always saved? But I can truly say, if you haven't had an experience of passing from death unto life, being born again, being illuminated and regenerated, then you are definitely not saved. Because that's what salvation is passing, being regenerated, being made anew on the inside, not the outside, you know. But then once you've been made anew on the inside, you want to walk pleasingly to God. But because our flesh is a powerful weapon, Romans chapter 6 teaches us this, that we have a hard time understanding that we have been bought with a price, the blood of Christ. And we have been translated out of the kingdom of God, of darkness, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Do you still not believe? Once saved, always saved. See, I can say I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. There ain't no doubt about it. Because even when I was backslidden, tells me in Isaiah that he is married to the backslider. But you choose to tell me that God can't be married to the backslider. You choose to tell me that God's blood could not wash and cleanse me. Once saved, always saved is where I'm coming from. Because I've met so many Christians. And not only are y'all failing in not believing and making your St. First John say that you might know you have eternal life. That you might know it, not guess about it, not think, not be trying to work hard to get it. You're supposed to already see when Jesus said, "I am the door, and no man can enter except he come through me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." See, what do you think he was saying all of that for? If you're not once saved, always saved. Oh yeah, you can fall, you can stumble. You can sin. You can fall into sin, but that doesn't wash away the blood that has already cleansed you. You're saying God's blood is temporary if you're not once saved, always saved. You're saying God's blood wasn't good enough to keep you. You know? Now, I know the scriptures that some of you will be blotted out. I know the scriptures that teach if it were possible that some of you will be deceived and some of you will love this world and go back to the world. I know those scriptures also. And I know Hebrews chapter 6. I know also St. John chapter 10, verse 28. Chapter 10. Let's go over there right quick. Because I'm hurt. See, because it doesn't hurt me that you don't know that you're standing in Christ or who you are and who you are in Christ. Not in me. I'm a saint, not because I don't smoke, drink, or commit adultery or fornication or all those Ten Commandments sin. I'm a saint because of the blood of Jesus Christ has made. In him, get it straight. In him we have been made the righteousness of Christ, not in my own standing. For Titus chapter 2 said, not by works of righteousness, least any man should boast. Not because I want to live holy for God because I love God. And I am kept by the blood of God. But if I choose to walk in my flesh and yield my life to my flesh, yes, I stand in jeopardy, but not in of salvation. I'll still be saved, but I won't have any good. I won't have every man going to be judged by his works and his. Let me read it to y'all. Because if you don't believe that you're saved, I promise you, you need to get in the Word, not come out of the Word, and ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and ask God to increase your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and your love for God, your love for God. Because too many of us are walking around here in self-righteousness, thinking, oh, because I've heard it too much. We talk about holiness as if it's something that you got. Yeah, the Bible said, be ye holy, but it ain't talking about just you being holy. You know what I mean? It ain't talking about the things I don't do that makes me holy. I'm holy because of the blood of Christ inside of me. That's what made me holy. It made me, it's set apart. I've been set apart. I've been purchased. I've been bought. I don't have my, I'm not my own. I've been dead, and now I'm alive. Do you understand me? I'm not giving y'all all the scriptures. Colossians 1:27, 2 Corinthians 2:14, Romans 8:10-11, 1 Timothy 1:1, 1 Corinthians 1:30, Philippians 3:9, John 3:16-18. I like you to know them because he has given us eternal life. Eternal life. And so you're saying if you're not saved, if you haven't received eternal life, then you're saying that God is a liar. And God is not a liar. We are liars. All men are liars, the word of God say. That's true. But God ain't a liar. And it's in that same John chapter 10. It said the devils in hell can't pluck you out of his hand. But you're saying you ain't one saved, always saved. I want you to study what you know. And don't just go by what your preachers say. Get in the Word. I'm not teaching y'all stuff that I learned from man. I'm teaching y'all stuff that the Holy Spirit himself taught me when I hungered and thirsted and sought him night and day, studying his word 16 and 17 hours a day, because I wanted to know God. I wasn't going to let no man tell me or lead me to hell, because the same Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ, when he went up into the sky and he said, y'all stay here until you be endued with power, endued with power. And that same Holy Ghost is in me today. That same Holy Ghost is what saved us. It came in and made us anew and gave us the birth. What do you think the scripture means when it says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? Who are you talking about? Who you think is in you? Who is in you? If you don't have eternal life, if you don't, because if the only way to get eternal life is the Holy Ghost has come in and did a washing, and a regeneration and a renewing of that soul man that's going to live forever. I've taught it on this station many, many times. We are going to live forever. We are God's. Same chapter 10, John. Jesus asked him, is it not written, ye are God's? What do you think God means? God means eternal spirit. Eternal spirit, that's one of the definitions. As we know, there are thousands of definitions for the Almighty God. We are not the Almighty God. We are mere. When God breathed into man, he became a living soul. And by being a living soul, you are destined to live forever, one place or the other. Get it? So whether you believe in God or not, you're going to live forever. So the greatest sin, besides blaspheming, which is equal to blaspheming of the Holy Ghost, is unbelief. You don't believe what God has done on that cross. You don't believe that his blood, don't believe that deliverance, righteousness, holiness, was all in the atonement and healing and prosperity. You don't believe it. You don't believe he gave you eternal life. So if you're not sure, 1 John says, make your calling and election sure. I'm just hurt. I told you many times on this program, God gave me a vision of him crying about all the people that he had to send to hell because he has no choice, don't have a choice. If you don't believe his son is who he said he was, then you have blasphemed, the unforgivable blaspheme. There can be no forgiveness for you. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh, preached unto the Gentiles, received up unto glory, if you don't believe John 1:1, if you don't believe Genesis chapter 1, if you don't believe, God will have no choice because he came down here. Colossians chapter 1, I've read it to you many times, teaches that all things were made by him, for him, through him, and without him, there was nothing made. When you read Genesis chapter 1, you're reading Colossians chapter 1, explaining to you who God was. Jesus Christ is God the Son. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And these three, the Word of God say, are one. They're not separate. They're one. So do you still believe that you can be, that you're not saved forever? Because if you don't believe eternal life, everlasting life, and forever is the same, then you got a problem. And if you believe that if you the blood, the atoning blood of Christ. Dr. Hunter, somebody is needing to, I got six more minutes. They need to mute their TV, their radio, their phone.
I just did.
So, Jesus, more than anything. This is the first commandment, that you should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. And with this, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a hard one to do, but it's and hang all the 10 on it. Don't lie, because we don't want to lie. Because God, why do we need to lie to man? Man ain't nothing but another piece of dirt like us. We all dirt with a little, we just dirt. The Word of God say, we just dust. Just dust. Why should you steal? Are we not trusting God? We all fall because our flesh, in the same book I read, Colossians, I read earlier, that it said, no flesh, stand before God. Ain't no flesh going to heaven. Romans chapter 8. That's Romans chapter 8. It's the same thing. And let's talk about Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:36. So make sure you get your scissors and cut that out of the Bible. Because if you don't believe once saved, always saved, you got to show enough cut out Romans chapter 8. I'm just amazed at the Bible says not many wise people. God don't choose many wise people with all these brilliant brains and education and stuff. And I've been to a lot of schools. But I promise you, I didn't learn, and I've been to four Bible schools. I didn't learn nothing that was worth anything in the Bible schools as I learned sitting at my table communing in the Word of God, letting the Holy Ghost give me revelation. There was no comparison, zero comparison. Yes, so yes, if you're interested in titles and all that good stuff, and if you think that's going to impress God, go for it. But I promise you it won't impress God. I promise you. It won't impress God. And loving God, being obedient to God, pleasing God. I still hang on Jesus' testimony. He was rich and he became poor, and he had this testimony that he always pleased the Father. I don't have that testimony. I want to. I want to have that testimony, but I don't have it because I'm just flesh. And I fall short. I'm not perfect, but I am striving to be perfect in Christ. In Christ. You know, the word say, be ye perfect, yes. But it's talking about in mind. Let this mind. And that's, you know, he's given us. So Romans 6:3 says, to whom you yield yourself to be a servant of, is to whom servant you are, you know. And when you people out there, we have three enemies. I keep trying to tell you: the world, the flesh, and the devil. We all talking about the news, the world, but the flesh is as powerful as all the other two, and the devil. We have three enemies. You get one conquered, and the other one fall down. You get two of them conquered, and you still got to fight with the other. And Satan is always going to be there fighting. And, you know, he's seeking whom he can devour daily. So, but God has given us the tools. We have the word. By our confession, we overcome by our confession. We are who God say we are. We have what God say we have. He said, let the weak say I'm, let him that is, you know, let the wisdom of God meditate in your mind and your heart. We have the tools. Yes, I'm fighting demons just like everybody else. I fight the flesh just like everybody else. I fight the devil just like the world. Yes, I fight the world from getting caught up in it. Yes, it's a constant fight, but I got the power. Don't be deceived. I got the power. I just got to yield to it. We got to yield to the power. Greater is he that is in me and you than he that is in the world. Give you this, John 10:28. You go to sleep meditating on that tonight. And this I give you, eternal life. Eternal life. I got eternal life abiding in me. And I'm praying to God that you have it in you. Once saved, always saved. Because even the devils in hell, Jesus said, couldn't pluck me out of his hands. I backslid. Yes, I did backslid. And I was a naughty girl when I backslid. And I backslid because of pride. I ain't got enough time to tell you about that. But that's what the Bible say, pride does go before a fall. And that's the truth. And there's pride, some hidden pride. They say prides of wanting these titles and wanting recognition and thirsting for somebody to recognize me or recognize us. All of those things are pride. Seeking God's glory, believe it. Those are secrets. There's millions, 6 things. I got to go. Proverbs chapter 6. Study them. And three of them all surround lying. And an abomination, which is an abomination. Just like homosexuals is an abomination, lying is an abomination. And all of y'all that voted for Trump, you voted for an abomination. May God have mercy on you. In Jesus' name.
Praise the living God. Tonight, we've been blessed with that powerful word. Now we have the prophetess, Valerie Harris, that's getting ready to come on. I know she's there. Speak to us, please.
Gracious Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we yield ourselves under your mighty hand. We listen, Father, for a word from you. May I decrease and the Spirit of the Lord increase. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is to the church, to us, Lord, that we might be more like you, Lord God, in all we say and all we do. In the name of Jesus, I cover everyone in the blood of Jesus Christ, declaring and decreeing that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. I thank God for the opportunity to come before you tonight. And as I was in the scriptures, our scripture reading tonight is coming from Matthew 7:21-23. And these are the words from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Starting with verse 21, reads, "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work." Matter of tonight is doing the will of the Father. Jesus said, and let me reemphasize, is that not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but is he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus didn't come to the earth to do his own will. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. And I truly believe that in this hour, he is calling us back to that very foundation that he built his church on. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-7, 1-8 is a plea for purity. Because God does say, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And it reads, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us how you are to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. But this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." God is calling us to live a holy and righteous life, because it's the way that we walk and the way that we live. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. The scriptures tell us that we were drawn out of darkness, out of a life of iniquity. He took us out of darkness, out of sin, out of destitution, and brought us into his marvelous light. God wants us to live holy. I woke up one morning about a month ago. Upon waking up, he gave me an instruction. And he said, I want you to teach holiness. And my response to him was, yes, Lord, but you have to teach me. And he's showing me things through the scripture, but also through the life and how we walk. We're living in dark times. People are watching us. They're watching the way we walk. They're watching the way that we serve God. They're watching the manner of which we say that we are. But we have to begin to look like Christ. And how do we do this? We submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. When we say we don't instantly change the way we live, but we come into a relationship with our Heavenly Father, we're restored back into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's not about religion or what we believe, a relationship, being restored to God. And he didn't call us to live unclean lives. He called us into holiness. And then again, to reiterate that, he said that we're not rejecting man, we're rejecting God. This out of the Living Bible, because it brings about a different kind of clarity, a different perspective. And it says, let me add this, dear brothers. You already know how to please God in your daily living, for you know the commands that he gave you from the Lord Jesus himself. Now we beg you, yes, we demand you in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you live more and more closely to that idea. For God wants you to be holy and pure and to keep clear of all sexual sin so that each of you will marry in holiness and honor. Not in lustful passion as the heathen do, in their ignorance of God and his ways. And this also is God's will, that you never cheat in this matter by taking another man's wife, because the Lord will punish you terribly for this, as we have solemnly told you before. For God has not called us to be dirty-minded and full of lust, but to be holy and clean. And if anyone refuses to live by these rules, he's not disobeying the rules of men, but of God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. You see, God has ordained the family. Marriage is ordained by God. God sanctified marriage. He sanctified the family. And in our salvation and in the impartation of his Holy Spirit, the power that is in us, that is within us, also gives us the power to walk holy before a holy God. We can't do it in ourselves, but it's the power of his Holy Spirit that can cleanse us, that can revive us. And through repentance, he said that if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us unrighteousness. God does that. And here's another one in Hebrews 12, 14 through 17, the will of God. He said to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. no one will see the Lord. Excuse me. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Pursue holiness, which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. The scriptures call Esau a profane person because he sold his birthright. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will you sell your birthright for? We have been bought with a price, the precious price that Jesus paid on that cross. And our lives don't belong to us. We belong to God, and we represent the kingdom of God in the earth. This is not our home. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do not lose heart and do not faint. God disciplines those whom he loves. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of the shedding of your blood. And have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? The word says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline, God treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and every one of us undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? Disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplined us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. God wants us to live holy. In the words of Jesus Christ himself, we don't want to miss God. We need to search and find what the will of the Father is. His will is for us to love. His will is for us to serve. His will for us to obey his word. What is our birthright? When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He has endued us with power from on high, the power to overcome, the power to live a holy and righteous life, the sons and daughters of a Most High God, the power to lay hands on the sick that they might be healed, the power to speak a word unto God, the power that he gives us that when our words line up with his will, there is absolutely nothing God will not do for you or I. We are the royal priesthood of a holy nation. He has already bought us out of darkness when we come to him. We did not choose him. He chose us. And he had a conversation. The Lord Jesus had a conversation with God that he said that he would not lose a one. He would not lose a one of us. But God gave us choice. He gave us the choice. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He said, I would rather you be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Jesus said that. The word said that. And I am compelled by God that when he presents a word before me, that I speak what he says speak. And I also bring myself under subjection to that same word that I speak, to search my heart, to walk in the will of the Father. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. What is your birthright? What is your instruction? Do we give up because we get tired? Do we give up the position that he's given us because we feel like we can't do it? He never expected us to do it without him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. When we come to Jesus, there's a death that takes place inside of us. Paul said it this way, oh, that I may know you in your death and in the power of your resurrection, that I may know you in the fellowship of your suffering, power of your resurrection. Suffering is death to us. And then Paul also said that I die daily. We die so we can live. And we live that we might die. But to be resurrected in the power of Jesus Christ. Kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We must walk in the will of the Father, that we might not be rejected by Christ. Lord, Lord, haven't I done this in your name? Haven't I done wonderful works in your name? Haven't I healed the sick in your name? Haven't I served in your name? We don't obey the will of God. He said that he would tell us, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. We all want to, when we face that day, when we face him, we want to hear those words, well, good, thy faithful servant. We must be faithful. We must be the light that he has called us to be, knowing that we don't are not citizens of this world any longer, but we have been translated into a kingdom, out of the kingdom of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his light. If I regard iniquity within my heart, you will not hear me. So we must live a life submitted to the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and let him sanctify us. He's already done it. He's already sanctified us, but we must believe it and walk in it and live as if we're set apart for his good pleasure and serve as if we're set apart and show others how to live a sanctified life. Because if we don't, how can we restore our families? How can we raise up a generation of young men and young women, our children and our grandchildren? How can we, if we don't live a life sanctified and holy before them? I pray for those people, those children, that teacher that was massacred on earlier by a 17-year-old troubled young man. That should never happen. Our children should not be killing one another for that family as well. That mother and that father, that the comforter will come, and that we all will see that there's a need for change, that something has to happen in our lives, that this world would change and come back to God in holiness and in righteousness and in fear of the Almighty God. I thank you, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that this word has been received in your love, because you said that you chastise those whom you love. And I pray, Father, that we will be sober, that we will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, what Jesus Christ is saying through his word. And that we be kind to one another. And that we love one another in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of you, God, who is love. I give you glory. I give you honor. And I give you the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen.
Tonight has been a night that God has used this vessel. He has spoken clearly to us. As I was meditating, as she was ministering, as all who have, God said, as she was pointed out, this is the time. To those who are listening, to those who are coming close to Christ, it's time we put aside foolishness, backbiting, cussing each other out. It's time that we just say, Lord, here I am. It's time for us to just say, Lord, have mercy upon me this day. For I made many mistakes today. Will you forgive me, Father, in the name of Christ? Will you forgive me? Will you let me walk that straight and narrow place called life, that I might be able to give you the glory and give you the praise? For without you, your word says, he that trusts in the Lord puts his confidence in the Lord. And I put my confidence in you, Father. I thank you this night. So, Father, tonight I will open the line. If somebody has something they want to confess, somebody want to pray for someone, this is the time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to open up the line 6386. Are you there? 6386. Are you there? 6386. Are you there? The last four of your letters. God bless you. Praise the living God. Amen. Well, 8029. Are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Apostle Esther.
Hey, Esther.
Hi, Apostle. How are you today?
Blessed.
Glory to God.
Well, happy birthday, past and going. Here we are today. 80 years old.
Oh,
praise.
Yeah. I received my birthright blessing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just thank the Lord. The word is right. Whether we accept it or don't accept it, it's right.
Amen.
So we have to understand the word. So the only thing I would have to say to all I heard tonight is from the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And I believe this. The speaker that was before, Minister Love, the one just got off, she was right on the timetable of God about holiness. Holiness is knowing that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So he said, don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? So if you're the temple, you're going to be holy. You have to work on purifying your body. You have to be different. You cannot live like the world and then think you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. So the sum of what I'm saying is just in one verse, and it's in Revelation 22, 11. It said, let the evil doer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the unrighteous still do unright, and the holy still be holy. So when we done came to the end, and we done did all we can, we done preached the gospel, we done told them about immorality, we told them about how to be saved and stay saved. And I do believe that you can lose your salvation. That's my belief according to the word. And I do believe if you stay pure and holy, you will enter into the kingdom of God. And I say that with holy boldness, not for any dispute, but that's what I believe in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we just want to hear 6819. Are you there? 6819, are you there? Well, one of the things I always say, and I will say this to the people that are listening, the non-believers, we're not on the radio station to be competitive. We're on the radio station to press the word of God in. And I believe the teachers that God has assigned to KESK radio station are bona fide, qualified, men and women who love the Lord Jesus Christ and are willing to give all the life that they have to see someone saved. So I encourage each and every one of you, and the more we press in toward God's kingdom, the more God give us the strength to come in God's kingdom. And may I share something with you? One of the things I found out in my search, there is a distinct difference in the name of Jesus Christ and Christ. I said to you like this here. From research, as long as Jesus walked this earth, he was in the flesh. And so everything he done was done in the flesh. As we say in the word, says blood and flesh cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus had to die of the flesh. He went to Calvary after all they did to him, buried him. But in the meantime, he went to hell, fought with the devil, beat him at his own game, rose in his hand and asked a question. Well, where are you? Where is your victory? Where is your victory? He said, it's in my right hand. So he proceeded to heaven. So I asked myself this question on en route to thinking. If you're on your way to heaven, Jesus, who helped to take you the blood back to the kingdom? And so all of a sudden, because it was written in the Old Testament, the blood of Jesus was taken back. It was taken back between the on the mercy seat. The blood is there on the mercy seat for eternity. The blood of Jesus Christ. So that nobody can dispute, even the devil, gonna still be raising his roof. One other thing I discovered, and when everything that was done, it said, when I looked and I went to from the starting out this life, went from when he was born to the baptism, to the baptism, until the 18 years, they didn't know, to the 30th year, and the 3 years. But when he died, he was no longer. He was Jesus Christ, the dead man. He was Jesus. Remember when Mary said his name shall be called Jesus. Christ means the Messiah. So when we get up into the book and look in the book of Acts, we find something also. Paul began to speak about it. But Paul came because on the road to Damascus, God did something to him. He asked the question, who art thou? And so we look into the interpretation of what God is doing. So when I read through all that I could read, I said, my God, everything from the book of Romans all the way down, it speaks about Christ. So who is Christ? Christ, are you ready for this? Christ is the Son of God. He didn't have no blood when he went to on the mount. When he told the brethren, he said, go you therefore unto all the world. There was no blood in his veins. Well, what happened to the blood? Again, we go back to it was putting on the mercy seat. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Throughout eternity. But all of a sudden, so what God has brought me to the point to understand, I cried when I began to receive this revelation. I said, Lord, have mercy upon me. In my own ignorance, sometimes we can become so smart until we get what God has said. Jesus Christ, the dead body can't do nothing, but it's the resurrected body. Christ did it all. When I read the book of Galatians where it says, Christ has redeemed. Christ did it. I said, oh, my God. I read Revelation. Christ did it. I said, okay, Lord, but I want to share that with you. So I want to thank Reverend A. Royal, Prince of Love, for her time and effort. I want to thank for Prophetess Valerie Harris for her time. And God bless y'all. And may the next time we go. And one thing I will say, I always say this, I love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. Until next time, God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Good night.